Yeah, I was thinking about it the day before this.
You went back that way?
I'm not sure exactly back, forward, so...
You're up to men, no?
Yeah, well, you know, Ben asked for an inch here, so I found a very interesting sugi here on Daf Tetzayin.
Tetzayin, which is that one?
And if you take a look, the last line on Tetzayin Amud Aleph, it says, Debei Rabbi Yishmael. We're gonna really focus on Tetzayin Amud Beis. Asya b'kavachomer mibalmum, and now we're going on to Tetzayin Amud Beis. So this we did yesterday. I'm going to try to summarize it very quickly so we don't lose time, but we'll, on the other hand, be able to jump on board. And the din of balmum here is that if a kohen is a balmum, even though eventually he may get out of it, but right now he's got a blemish that passes him from doing the avod of the karbon. The halacha is im avad chilel, and that you'll see on the top line on daf tezayin amud beis. If he went ahead and he did the avoda and he was a balmum, the avoda is invalid. That's called chilel. Okay, do I have to write that on the board? Chilel? No.
No.
Okay, good. Chilel means it's desecrated, literally, which means it's not valid. You're gonna have to replace it with another carbon. But here's an interesting deal, and those are the first three words on Amud Beis, balmum ochel, which means that a balmum is allowed to eat kodshe kodshim. He's not allowed to bring the carbon. He can't do the avoda, you know, the shechita, the zrika, etc., etc., but he's allowed to eat from the kodshim. And nevertheless, if he does the avoda, then he's mechal the avoda. And therefore, onen, in the case of an onen who has lost one of his close relatives, and the law is eno ochel bekodshim, is eno din, how much more so shim avad chilel. If a balmum, which is light compared to an onen, in the fact that he's allowed to eat kodshim, but nevertheless his avoda is mechuleles, then how much more so in the case of an onen that is enjoined from eating kodshim, certainly his avoda is mechuleles. Now, what we studied yesterday, and I want to build on this today, is two approaches, two definitions as to why an onen is possibly avoda. One definition was because of his, what's called, dine nihug aninus, which means that there are certain laws that apply to an onen. He's not allowed to get involved in any sort of joyous festive activities. He's not allowed to eat meat. He's not allowed to drink wine until he buries the dead. And he's also enjoined from doing the avoda on the mizbeach, the avoda sakodshin. That too is one of the laws that applies to an onen, and that's how he has to behave as an onen. The other definition, the other approach was that no, it has nothing to do with the laws of an onen. It has to do with the laws of kodshim. In the Mizbeach, the Torah has a list of those people who qualify for the Avodah and those people who are disqualified for the Avodah. There's some people that the Mizbeach could tolerate, some Kohanim, and some Kohanim which the Mizbeach can't tolerate. And one of those that the Mizbeach can't tolerate is the Onen, because the Onen is antithetical to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach represents life, and the Onen represents death at this point in his life. Now the Gemara, and we're going to get back to that Hakir in just a few minutes, I just want to go through the Gemara itself. Ma lebalmum, the Gemara offers the following pircha on this kalvachom. Mishakein osabo kravim kamakrivim. You know what? I'll tell you why the balmum, if he went ahead and he did the avoda, his avoda is mechuleles. That's a reflection of a very big chumra with regard to mum. Mum is something that's absolutely antithetical to the mizbeach. And that's why a kohen balmum is posel, and not only is a kohen balmum posel, that's called makrivin, but even kravim, even in the case of the animal itself, if the animal that's being brought as a carbon has a mum to it, then the carbon is posel. You see to what extent this problem, this objection, this negativity of mum is so powerful that it applies not just to the kravim, not just to the makrivim, but also to the kravim as well. So the Gemara says, Zar Yochia. So, Don, slow me down, because I'm moving fast only because we did this yesterday. So you'll slow me down. Zar Yochia, what about the case of a Zar? That only applies to the Makrivim. It has no application to the Kravim. And yet, we've already established earlier, that was the Sugya before this, that a Zar, if a non-Kohen does the Avodah, with the exception of Shechita, but if he does the Avodah is Mechuleles. So why not compare an Onein to a Zar? In both cases, he's not allowed to do the Avodah. And in both cases, the Avodah should be Mechuleles. So Gemara says, no, Mal is Zar. There's a very big Chumer in Zar. Shekein Ein Lo Takana. His situation is, shall we say, permanent, eternal. Once you're a Zar, you're always a Zar. Despite all the jokes about paying a Reformed rabbi and all that, but I can't become a Kohen. So, you have something done that I could never ever have. What can I do? You got it. I didn't get it. Usually something that you have, I can maybe trade with you, I could barter with you, maybe we'll make a deal. But in the case of Kahuna, there are no deals. Mashain came in the case of an Onein is an Onein only until the Kvura, after the burial takes place, he's no longer an Onein. So there's logical reason to say that we're more machmir in the case of a Zar than we would be in the case of an Onein. And therefore, maybe in the case of an Onein, since he has this temporary blockage, but it's only temporary, therefore if he went ahead and he took the reins into his hands and he did the Avodah, maybe with the Eved, post facto, the Avodah is Kshera. Then we'll go back to Baal Mum Yochiyach, because Baal Mum is also a case of Yesh Lo Takana like Onein. It's very similar to Onein. The Baal Mum now is a temporary blemish, which hopefully will heal with the course of time. He may need to pay good money to a dermatologist for that, but V'chazra adin lo roizek lo roizeh hatzad ha'shov shemhem shem muzharim v'im avdu chilu afani ovi onen shem muzhar v'im avad chilel, which means that if we take the joint forces of both Baal Mum together with Zar, then we can draw the following conclusion, that whenever the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do the Avodah, the Torah means to say that your Avodah is Mechuleles. Both in the cases of Baal Mum and Zar, the Torah enjoins you from doing the Avodah, and therefore the Avodah is Mechuleles. And if you have a Pircha, your Pircha will be against one of these two. Let's say, for example, your Pircha against the Baal Mum will be that a Baal Mum is so chomer that it's Kravim Kemakrivim. So I'll bring you proof from Zar. In Zar, there's no Kravim Kemakrivim. If you'll say I have a Pircha on Zar, because Zar is Ein Lo Takana, whereas Onein Yesh Lo Takana, so I'll prove it from Baal Mum, which is Yesh Lo Takana. Okay. So that's the brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, and just to summarize, Rabbi Yishmael derives from a Tzad HaShava between Baal Mum and Zar that in Onein his Avodah is Mechuleles. But we've never questioned the underlying premise of this whole brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, that is that an Onein is not allowed to do Avodah. Where does it say in the Torah that the Onein is enjoyed from the Avodah? Hechem Muzar, show me a source in the Torah that tells me that an Onei is enjoined from doing the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Elema, what are you going to do? You're going to quote the Pasuk. U'min HaMikdash lo yetze. This Pasuk is the source for an Onein who's enjoined from doing the Avodah, because the Torah says that he's punishable in lo yetze because he didn't cease, he didn't terminate his avodah, he continued to do the avodah despite the fact that he was an onein. And the Gemara Amud Aleph darshan from this pasuk that only a kohen gadol is allowed to continue his avodah despite his aninus, but any other kohen, a kohen hedjot, a rank and file kohen, if he's an onein, he's enjoined from doing the avodah. So the Gemara says, I have a problem with that. Why? Because chilul begufe ksivba. Now, it's a din that a regular Kohen, who's an Onein, and he does the Avodah, despite the fact that he's an Onein, he's mechalel his Avodah. That's explicit in the Pasuk, because the Torah says, velo yechalel. And we saw from the Pasuk, velo yechalel, this is going to teach me that if he terminates his avodah, then he's not mechal his avodah. And the Gemara says ha'acher, the exception of the kohen gadol who continues the avodah, acher, any other rank and file kohen, if he doesn't cease and terminate his avodah and he's an onein, is chilel. So therefore, if our Tana accepts this drasha that the Gemara suggested on Amud Aleph here, then we don't need the Kal V'Chomer of the Bei Rabbi Yishmael. Apparently the Kal V'Chomer and the Tzad HaShov of the Bei Rabbi Yishmael is predicated on the assumption that the pasuk v'lo yechalel that we darshened earlier is not a basis for chilul avodas in the case of Zar. Ella, but rather this Tana holds like Rabbi Eliezer, and he has a different drasha from which he derives the conclusion that an onen is enjoined from doing the avoda, and that's from the pasuk hein hikrivu. Now this has to do with Aaron and his children. You remember when Nadav Aviv died, so Aaron and his children, Aaron as a father and his children as brothers, were onenim. And the din of an onen is that he's not allowed to eat the basar of the carbon, and that's why they burnt the carbon in that parsha. So when it says here hein hikrivu, the conclusion of hein hikrivu is that because of the aninus they burnt the basar. So I have a note here on the bottom. He says that the Tana chalak baze al Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Lez pirish shegam mash mechalal ona avodaso, is derived from this pasuk. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what do we derive from this pasuk? Hein ikrivu, not only that the basar has to go up in flames, but that also the kohen is not allowed to do the avoda if he's an onen. But this Tana, meaning Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel in our brisa, he holds that we can only learn an ashara from this pasuk. We need to know, okay, he violated this hazara, he went in, he did the avodah as an onen, then how do we know that his avodah is mechuleles? And that's where we have to derive from this gzeira shava. Now getting back to the gzeira shava, again, from Zar and Balmum, ikol mifrat, the Gemara now suggests another pircha, malat zara shava sheben shekein lo hutra mechlolo. What does that mean? That a zar and a balmum is li'olam li'yotze mechlal yisur. In other words, in the case of an onen, he has a hetem mechlolo. What does that mean? There is one kohen who's allowed, he's permitted to do the avodah during aninus. Who's that? The kohen gadol. But in the case of balmum, or the case of a zar, it doesn't matter who he is, there's no way, no how that he can do the avodah. So what we see here is that Onen sets himself apart from both Balmum and Zar in the fact that an Onen is Hutar Mechlolo. In other words, when we talk about the Isur of an Onen to do the Avodah, that's Chal Legabe every Kohen, but the Torah is Matir, that Isur Legabe the Kohen Gadol. That's called Hutar Mechlolo. Let me write this on the board. This is a very important principle. And it appears all over the place in Shas, Hutar Mechlolo, which means that at stage number one you have an Isur, and at stage number two you have a Matir. And what you're left with is a spillover or a leftover Isur. And that Isur is less severe than a normal Isur, right? So let's say, if we go back to number one, right, so we have cases of X and Y, both included in the original Isur. Then we go over to number two, and there's a Matir, which removes X, and you're left with Y. So that's called Hutar Mechlol. In other words, it was originally included in a broader scoped Isur, now we removed one from the bag, and therefore, Hutar Mechlol, it's sort of like a balloon, and you've partially punctured the balloon, so some of the air is coming out.
What's the last letter?
Michlalo.
Vav.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's
okay. Okay then? So that's called Hutar Michlalo. I'll give you an example. The Torah says, with regard to the Isur Chodosh, Chodosh means new crops. This has both X and Y in it, which means Achilas Adam and Achilas Mizbech. You're not allowed to take from the new crop, neither to eat for yourself your own bread, nor can you put it on the Mizbech for a Korban Mincha. Then we have a Matir. The Matir is the 16th day of Nisan. What happens on that day? We bring, don't all answer at once, what do we bring on the 16th of Nisan in the Beis HaMikdash? Oh, very good guess. The Omer. Now, what happens when this Omer is brought? We have a Matir, but it's not Matir both. It's only Matir the Achilas Adam. And that becomes Yoshan instead of Chodesh. But the Isil Mizbeach remains until when? Anybody know the most important date for the second Heter?
Shavuot.
Correct. That's called the Shtei Alechem, right?
Okay.
Now, what's the status with regard to Chodesh Limizbeach between T1, meaning the original Isa before the Omer, and T2 after the Omer? That's called Hutar Mechlolo. Hutar Mechlolo means we've taken one of these two Isurim out of the bag, and now we're left with a more restricted Isur. So since the original Isur was all-encompassing, it included both Achilas Adam and Achilas Mizbeach, when we remove the Isur of Achilas Adam, and that happens on the 16th of Nisan with the Omer, although there's still a leftover Isur, and that leftover Isur is Lumizbeach, that's Kodesh Lumizbeach, that becomes Huta Mechlola. And then Afkamina, the Mishnah says, is that if, let's say, you brought a Karban Mincha, Min HaChadosh, before the Shtei Alechem, but after the Omer, in that period of 7 weeks, then the Karban B'dieved is Kosher.
So,
just one more point, Don. But if you had brought that same identical carbon before Tet Zayin B'Nisan, then the carbon is possible. You're going to have to replace it.
Is the Hutta Mechlala a time period? It refers to a time between T1 and T2?
Right, always. By
always,
definition.
Always.
Yeah. Because Hutta Mechlala means that originally it was also and then it became Mutta. That's time. T2 is called a Matri. But keep in mind that this Matri is only a partial Matir, but it chips away at the original Isur. And whatever's left over from the original Isur is not the same, it's not on the same severity as the original Isur. Clear?
It stays Usur, but it's not as Chamor.
Correct. And we're applying that to the case of an Onen. Why? Because the original Isur of an Onen should apply to both a regular Kohen and a Kohen Gadol, but yet the Torah went ahead at some point and said, you know what? We're going to allow the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah Ba'aninus. That already chips away at the original Isur, and that's called Huta Mechlolo. And therefore the Gemara thinks that the Tzad HaShav of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel falls apart now. Why? Because you're trying to derive it from Zar and Balmum. Those cases have no Huta Mechlolo. There's no Balmum who's allowed to do the Avodah. There's no Zar who's allowed to do the Avodah. But there is an Onen who is Huta Mechlolo, who is taken out of the original Isur, and that's called what? The Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara now adds another variable into the equation to try to prove that an onein she'avad is chilas avodoso, and that's called tamei yochiach. Why? Because tamei is also huta mechlola. At what point, in the case of a tamei who's enjoined from doing the avoda, do we have a matir? Anybody know what that's called? I'll give you a hint. It only applies to kohen sibur.
That helps.
That's called Tuma Hutra Bitzibur. Are you familiar with that principle?
Probably.
Tuma Hutra Bitzibur means that if most of the Jewish people are in a state of Tuma,
okay. Then
we're allowed to bring the Karban B'Tuma.
Ah, right. Okay.
So you see that even a Tame, meaning the Kohen engendered Tuma, even so, he's allowed to do the Avod in the case of a Karban Tzibur when it's Hutra. So that's again, Tame is a case of Hutar Mechlol. Hutar Mechlol means the original Isur was all encompassing, now we chipped away at it, and now the Isur is on a lesser level, and that din, that a Tomei, who went ahead and did the Avodah, he was Mechal the Avodah, that's going to be now the basis for deriving the conclusion about Onen. That Onen, like a Tomei, is a case of a weakened Isur, because Huta Mechlolo, there's a Heter in the Isur, and just like in the case of Tomei, the Avodah is Mechulelis, so too in the case of a Zar, of an Onen, the Avodah is Mechulelis. So the Gemara rejects this as well. Hanach Yochichu. You'll tell me now that you're going to prove something from a Tomei case. Well, what about the cases of Zar Ubalmum? And then again, you'll have a Chazar Adin. Chazar Adin, which at Tzad HaShavah Sheben is, if you add now to the list, not just Zar and Balmum, but you add Tomei to the list, Shemusharim, and if you'll have Pircha, well, you can't derive from Tomei because Tomei is Hutu Mechlolo. No, I'm sorry. You can't derive from Zar and Balmum because these cases are not Hutu Mechlolo, so I'll prove it to you from Tomei that's Hutu Mechlolo. So Gemara rejects this as well. V'lifrof malat zara shavishemen shekein lo hutu mechlolo neitzel kohen gadol b'karban yachid. If we take the case of a karban yachid, meaning not a carbon tzibur, then it doesn't matter who's Tomei. And in this case, a Kohen Gadol is going to be enjoined from doing the Avodah. Right? So let's read it again. Shekein lo huchu mechlolon eitzel Kohen Gadol b'karban yachid. In the case of an Onen, if he would be a Kohen Gadol, then he's allowed to do the Avodah as an Onen, even in the case of a Karban Yachid. And that rejects the case of Tumah, because Tumah in a Karban Yachid, there's never ever a way of being Mater Aninus, even in the case of a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara answers, Shem Tumah Mia Ishtere. It doesn't matter if you came up with a specific case where a Tomei, even if he's a Kohen Gadol, cannot do the Avodah, namely a case of a Karban Yachid, whereas in the case of an Onen, a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah, because I'm interested in Shem Tumah. Now it's Tumah as an abstract entity. And there is a Heter on the Issa Tumah. And that's enough to serve as the basis for the derivation of Onen. So the similarity between Tomei and Onen is called Shem Tuma Mia Ishtere. Then we get to Rav Misharshi. Rav Misharshi comes up with another source for the din that an Onen who did the Avodah is the Avodah's Mechuleles. And this we derive from Asir B'Kavachom Miyoshev. Now, what's the case of Yoshev? So the Gemara earlier had established on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph that if the Kohen doesn't stand at the time that he does the Avodah, then the Avodah is Mechuleles. Im Avad Chilel. And Onen She'eno Ochel. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Uma Yoshev Sha'ochel Bekodshim. In other words, there's no din of Amida at the time of Achilas Kodshim. And yet, if he does the Avodah while he's sitting, the Avodah's Mechuleles is an Onen She'eno Ochel, that he doesn't have the Heter, the permissibility to eat Kodshim, is im Avad, Eno Dinshim Avad Chil. How much more so if the Torah is more Machmer in the case of an Onen, that he's not allowed to eat kodshim, whether he's standing or he's sitting. He's more chomer than Yoshev. So if Yoshev passels his avoda mechuleles, how much more so that an onen should passel his avoda? So the Gemara answers: Mali Yoshev shekein passel yedus. We have a separate chumra in Yoshev that if a person comes into a court to give testimony and he's sitting, we don't accept his testimony. An onen is kashel yedus. There's no psuleidus in Onen, there's a psuleidus in Yoshev. So maybe the Torah is more machmir in Yoshev, and therefore avodasa mechuleles. So Gemara says, you know what? I'm going to derive it a kavul chomer from Yoshev Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is kashel yedus, even if he's sitting down. And nevertheless, if that same Talmud Chacham were a Kohen, were to be a Kohen, and he went ahead and he did his avodah, then his avodah would be mechuleles. So you see, it has nothing to do with the chumra of edus, meaning even someone who's kashali edus as a yoshev, namely a talmud chacham, nevertheless he is mechal as avodah. So therefore, we can derive aninus, which is not kashali edus, from the case of a yoshev talmud chacham. So the Gemara says that malashem yoshev shekein kashali edus. Okay, you're right. In the exceptional case of a Talmud Chacham, his Eidus is acceptable even when he's sitting. But as far as the general category of Yoshev, as an abstract category, there is a Psul Eidus. And in Aninus, there's no psul edus at all. So the Gemara answers, Shem Yoshev lo parach, that Rav Misharshia never accepted this kind of a pirch of Shem Yoshev. And as long as he finds one particular case that could be the basis for the Kal Vachomer, then the Kal Vachomer is valid. V'yimtim saloma parach, and even if you'll say that Rav Misharshia accepts this principle of shame, and that's enough to undermine the pircha, the Kal Vachomer, is nevertheless we could derive chil of an onen asya mi yoshev umichada mihanach. Thus, we'll choose one of the above, whether it's balmum, whether it's zar, whether it's tame, together with yoshev. And if you'll offer a pircha, but yoshev is posliedus, I'll say, well, what about a balmum or a zar or a tame? All the above are kosheliedus. So therefore, you cannot tell me that the reason why the avoda of yoshev is posel is because of the din of psuledus. I'll prove to you that avodasa mechulelus applies even when there's no psuledus. Okay, that's as far as the sugya is concerned. By the way, the next sugya, which we're not going to have time for today, is what's the deal with an onen in a carbon sibur? Let's say, for example, a carbon tumid is a carbon sibur, and the onen did the kabbalah saddam. Would that be kosher? Would that be posel? So the Mishnah seems to assume that if the onen is makabal adam, it's posel. But Rav is going to say that only applies to a carbon yachid, but a carbon sibur, like for example a carbon tamid that we mentioned before, even if the kohen who was makabal saddam was an onen, there is ritzah, the carbon is kosher. And that's going to be derived from tumah, because in tumah we're going to differentiate between a carbon yachid and a carbon sibur. We're going to make that same distinction in the case of an onen. Alright, now we want to look in the nefesh tova. And as we said before, we're going to look at Os Chaf Beis. What page is it on in your edition?
Reish Lamed Bet.
Oh, so you're already 4 pages ahead of me. I see I have to get a hold of that edition because they added quite a bit, 4 pages. So he starts with the Chakira as to why the Kohen Onen is possibly Avoda. And his avodah is mechulelus. Is this A, because of the din in kodshim, or B, because of the din in aninus? And he brings a proof from a sugya in moed katan, and that you'll see in a paragraph, which in my edition is on the next page, dibra maschil uposhit le rava hasam. You have such a paragraph? Okay. So let's just review very quickly what we know from Rava in Masechta Moed Katan Daf Yudalet Amid Beis. The Gemara wants to know whether or not the Avelus of a Mitzora, because a Mitzora has to be Noeg Avelus, he's also, so to speak, excommunicated. I don't want to go too far with that term. But he also has, you know, he has a different world that he lives in, a separate world, a separate society called the Mitzora. What happens on a regel, on a yontif? The Torah says, v'samachta b'chagecha. And the mitzvah of simcha on a regel should now trump the iser avelus of a Mitzora. Does that work? Does it not work? And this would have an implication in the case of a Kohen who is a Mitzora. Because as we said before, as a result of the Dine Avelus, he's not allowed to be Oved in the Beis HaMikdash, but maybe we'll say that on Yontif, his Avelus is undermined, and even though he's a Mitzora, he can do the Avoda. So Rava comes up with an answer to this question. What's the status of a Mitzora Kohen on Yontif who does the Avodah? Do we have all the variables here?
Wait. So someone's a Mitzora, and now it comes to a Chag.
A Chag, and he wants to do the Avodah in the Mikdash.
No,
he's
forget, forget the Kohen. The first says that a regular person, right, a non-Kohen, an Israel, right, is a Mitzora, and on the Chag he's no longer considered a Mitzora? Is that what the rule is?
Well, I think that's dependent upon this sugya. In other words, we haven't gotten to the final conclusion in the sugya. Hopefully,
that the chag would affect his status as a mitzor. That's interesting.
Right, as far as the avelus dimension of mitzor, again, it doesn't mean he's tar. We're not saying, you know, he certainly has to go through all the complications.
Just the avelus, right.
But just as far as the avelus dimension, because
when I'm mitzor, his avelus is
completely
gone.
Is completely trumped, if you can.
Yes.
By the regular, by the mitzvah of sin.
What
about a mitzor?
Why would, just so I get the reasoning, why should his status as a Metzora affect his status as an Avelis just because it's a Chag?
Well, again, if he wasn't a Metzora, if he wasn't like a Metzora basically, let's build a circle around the word Metzora,
okay,
and then underneath it, coming with two lines in different directions, mm-hmm, two other circles. One is the dimension called Tumah V'Tahara, and as a Metzora is Tameh,
right,
and another circle, that Avelus, that
okay,
the Torah imposed on a Metzora, the laws of Avelus. It could very well be possible that that dimension called Avelus would be undermined, would be trumped by Regel, by Simchas Regel. Why? Because elsewhere, if we draw a circle called an Avel, when it comes to the Regel trumps his Avelus.
Right.
So in the case of Metzora, even though we can't impact on his status as a Tameh,
right,
but we can lift the prohibitions as an Avel.
So my question is, why would we... I'm trying to get to the reasoning for the question even, because it seems to me the status of Metzora is a totally different realm than the status of someone who's an Avelis.
Well, it depends which circle you're on. There are two circles coming out of this general thing called Metzora. One of those two circles, which is independent of the other one, is called Avelis, meaning the Metzora part of his obligation is to firtzach, as we say in Yiddish, he has to behave as an Avel.
Correct.
That aspect should be compared to a general Ovel. And in the case of a general Ovel, he suspends his Avelus,
right,
for the sake of Samachta B'chagecha. So why not apply the same reasoning to a Metzora?
Yes, that's my question.
The other side is to say the Metzora is more chomer than an Ovel. For example, Avelus is only Darabonon, but Metzora is Doraisa. You know, I'm just giving you one possibility.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to understand why we even question it. So just because he's a Metzora, why should his status as an Avelus be different?
The answer is because his Avelus is not just Avelus. His Avelus is Midine Metzora. Metzora is a Doraisa entity, whereas Avelus is a rabbinic institution.
Okay, all right.
Oh. So Rava wants to analyze this question based on the halacha of Avodas HaKohen. What happens if the Kohen is a Metzora? Normally his avod is completely unacceptable, but perhaps, says Rabbi, we should think about Yantif. Maybe in a case of Yantif, of Regel, because the Simcha of Regel might theoretically undermine the Avelus element, then his avod might be kosher. So what I want you to look at is inside the text. And he says, Fal Toshma. Do you have this Toshma? The paragraph Uposhat. Uposhit, I should say, right? You have it?
We have that one, Toshma.
Toshma. You don't have Toshma? So it should be the fifth and sixth words on that line.
Oh.
Toshma. Can you find it? No. So maybe we're looking at the wrong
paragraph. Okay. Here. I'll show it to you mine and then we'll look for it in yours. It says Toshma. Let's see if we can find it. Yeah, Toshma. You found it?
Which word? This one?
Toshma.
Two words.
Yeah, Toshma.
Where were you?
You've got a colon. You've got to have a colon.
Toshma.
Toshma. That's a famous phrase, right? Come and hear. Toshma. Come and listen. Whenever you want to answer a suffix, you have a doubt about something, and you think you quoted a source that'll address that issue, then you use the words Toshma. Okay. Again, if I had a moed cut and I just don't want to spend the time, I would tell you exactly where this pasuk is. But anyway, somewhere in the pasuk there's an extra word, a superfluous word called vehatzaruah. And this brisa addresses the question as to why the Torah added the word tzaruah. That's called a ribui. Ribui means coming to apparently include something else. And that's l'rabos kohen gadol. That if the Kohen Gadol is a Tzaruah, despite his great status as a Kohen Gadol, he's enjoined from doing the Avodah, like any Mitzorah is enjoined from doing the Avodah. Comes along Rava and he asks the following question. For a Kohen Gadol, dechol hashana kiregel lekuli alma domi. The Kohen Gadol during the entire course of the year has the status of regel. It's the whole year is yanta for him. Just like regel lekuli alma. Just like for any other person, Kohen or non-Kohen, doesn't matter, on a regel, who has the mitzvah of simcha, a Kohen Gadol the whole year round has that mitzvah of simcha.
Meaning that even though he's an onan, or even though...
No, you're way ahead of me.
Okay.
I'm just saying, when is yontif? So we have three yom tovim, right?
Yeah.
In the case of a Kohen Gadol, it's yontif for him the entire year, 365 days.
I mean, the laws that pertain to yontif apply to him.
Right, correct. He's always besimcha.
He's got to be a happy guy.
Right, he's got to be a happy guy. And I mentioned yesterday that has to do with a principle called lifnei Hashem. He's always standing in the presence of God, and that's called simcha. Because whenever you see simcha in the Torah, and I can show it to you over and over again, it always says v'samachta lifnei Hashem. Whenever the Torah commands us on yontif, we're all lifnei Hashem. It's almost as if Hashem invited us into His close presence. We go into His Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we're lifnei Hashem. Yom Kippur in particular is lifnei Hashem. We're all standing in front of Hashem. That's called simcha. The samachta lifnei Hashem. And a Kohen Gadol, the whole year round, is standing lifnei Hashem. Okay. Now, how does Rava know? It's very nice that a Kohen Gadol, the whole year round, according to Rava, is considered kiregel. But how do you know such a thing? And Rava proves it from a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? You may recall that we discussed before the difference between a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hedjot, as opposed to a Kohen Gadol in the case of Aninus. If a regular rank and file Kohen is an Onan, he's enjoined from doing the Avodah. But in the case of a Kohen Gadol, even though he's an Onan, we're going to allow him to do the Avodah. And that's the special status of a Kohen Gadol. Oh, Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Kohen Gadol makriv onen v'eino ochel. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the avodah. He's enjoined as an onen from eating the basar, but he's allowed to be makriv the karbon even though he's an onen. That's the special status of a Kohen Gadol. Now, how does that prove that he is considered beregel the whole year round? In other words, Rav is asking the following question. Why should an onen, a regular onen, be posel le'avodah, and yet a Kohen Gadol is kosher le'avodah? There must be some sense in which the aninus is dissipated in the case of a Kohen Gadol. Now, you could talk about a regular Kohen and his aninus is trumped, you know, it's over, it's nulled and voided because of what? Of simchas haregel. But in the case of Kohen Gadol, we're not talking about Simchas HaRegel, we're talking about Kohen Gadol the whole year round, and we're saying he's allowed to be Makriv the Onen. Bishlam, in the case of a regular Kohen on Yontif, okay, fine, then I can understand that the Yontif is a mitigating circumstance and it trumps the Aninus. But now we're talking about a Kohen Gadol the whole year round. He's not Beregel, and yet you're allowing him as an Onen to do the Avodah. Says Rav, it must be because the Kohen Gadol has the status of Regel. The whole year round, he's considered like a Kohen Hedjot Beregel. Just like a Kohen Hedjot Beregel is we're going to undermine and nullify his Aninus because the mitzvah of Simcha of Yontif completely mitigates the Avelus. So too, with regard to a Kohen Gadol, the whole year round, he's allowed to do the Avodah, even though he's an Onan technically, because what's going to mitigate his Aninus? It's the fact that the whole year round he's Beregel. Karegel he's all year. Oh. Now let's go back to the first brisa that we started with, Vatzarua, the top line of this paragraph. Lerabos Kohen Gadol. Meaning there's a ribui here that not only is a Kohen Hedjot enjoined from doing the avoda as a mitzora, but even a kohen gadol is enjoined; he's not allowed to do the avoda as a mitzora. Why? Because, as we said before, the two circles, the mitzora is not only a tumah issue; he also has within him what avelus, and therefore he's enjoined from doing the avoda. And the kohen gadol himself is enjoined from these avelus when he's a mitzora; he's not allowed to do the avoda. But wait a minute. You just finished telling me, says Rava, that the whole year round he's considered kerega. He has the mitzvah of simcha. No, if you're telling me that a kohen hedjot, if he has the mitzvah of simcha, let's say for example on the regel, then his aninus is suspended, then why do you tell me that if the kohen gadol is a mitzora, that he's not allowed to do the avoda because of his avelus, but he's got the mitzvah of simcha, he's got the mitzvah of yontif the whole year round? Says Rava, Shmamina noeg tzaraso beregel shmamina. You wanted to know whether or not a mitzora on the regel itself would be noeg his avelus despite the mitzvah of simcha. In the case of a kohen hedjot, we said that the mitzvah of simcha mitigates regel. I'm sorry, mitigates avelus. But we wanted to know, what about a mitzora? Because maybe his avelus is more chamor, and therefore a regel would not be enough. So I'll prove it to you from the case of a kohen gadol, who's a mitzora. A kohen gadol who's a mitzora is not allowed to do his avoda if he's an onen. If he's a mitzora because of that avelus element, even though a kohen gadol is the whole year round the regel, so let's just
So it's not that he's just mitzora; he's an avelus and a mitzora.
No. I'm just saying his avelus bitoras mitzora, meaning as a subcategory, right? That circle, right? We get back to the circle, right? Let's just go. Let's see if we can map this out. If we can chart this out, right? Mitzora, we said, has two circles, right? He's tame, and also he has dine avelus. So far, so good. Now, we want to know the following. The rule is that, in general, as far as a classical avel who's not a mitzora, on regel, his avelus is mitigated. Mm-hmm. Now we want to know, what if a person is an avil because he's a mitzora? He's not a real avil. He didn't lose any of his relatives. He's just a mitzora.
Ah.
So that wasn't clear. That's where you didn't follow this.
Yes,
so this was not pedagogically successful.
Go on. We're going to iron out the
positions. I apologize. That's my... Okay.
Do we have it now?
Again,
the two dimensions to mitzora.
Ah, okay. I didn't...
That's what I pointed out. Maybe you didn't hear me. That avelus is isolationism.
Ah.
What does that mean? A person, ever because an avel, he's kind of isolated.
Has nothing to do with the death of somebody.
Because he lost one of his relatives.
He has to be separate.
And he's grieving. He is in a state of anguish, of, what word am I looking for? Of mourning. That's the word I'm looking for. But not mourning in the M-O-R-N, but mourning, M-O-U-R-N. Right? He's in a state of mourning. That state of mourning, halachically, in the ethics of the Torah of Judaism,
right,
makes him into an isolated human being. We are all lifnei Hashem, we're close to Hashem. He is far from Hashem at this particular moment in his life. God is hiding, it's hide and seek. So he is isolated. He's not going to dress the way you and I dress. He's not going to wash himself the way you and I wash himself. He's not going to be able to go out of his house, you know, for 7 days. He's cooped up. He is in a state of what I call isolationism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's not allowed to cut his hair even. You know, he looks very unkempt, like Nebuchadnezzar, a homeless person on the streets. You know, you go to New York on the Bowery, you know, you see these people, right? That's the status of an avel.
You don't have to go to the Bowery anymore.
Right. So he's, like, Hashem is sort of marking him. I don't know how you say it in English. He's been pushed aside by Hashem. You know, we're all distant from Hashem, but we're getting closer and closer. The avel has a problem because of his avelus.
Where else do we have a parallel to this isolationism? That's a Metzorah.
Okay.
A Metzorah is also to some extent isolated. And we have to impose upon him the laws of Avelus. Again, he hasn't lost any relative.
Okay.
I didn't point that out.
Yeah, sorry.
I apologize. Oh. Now we want to know the following. In a case of a classical Avel, okay, who's not what?
Not Metzorah.
He's not a Metzorah. He's not a Metzorah, right? So the law is that comes Regel with the Mitzvot. Vissamachta. And what does it do? It mitigates his Avelus. Mm-hmm. What about the Avelus of a Metzorah, who hasn't lost one of his relatives, but is fearing Ois as an Ovel? He has to behave and manifest himself as an Ovel by virtue of his status as a Metzorah. That's on a higher level than a classical Avelus. He's isolated because the Torah says he's a Metzorah, and we got to isolate him, and therefore he's going to be Noeg Avelus. Would Regel, under the law of Isamachta, mitigate his Avelus in the same way that it would do so for a classical Avel? Or do we say no, that a Mitzvah is on a higher level, much more severe? So comes along Rava, and he says, this I can erase, you have that all? Okay. Comes along Rava, and he says the following. I have a brisa that derives from an extra word in the pasuk v'hatzaruah l'rabbel's kohen gadol, that if a kohen gadol is a mitzorah, then he's not allowed to do the avodah, right? He's enjoined from avodah. Mm-hmm. So that's going to prove to me, says Rava, that the concept of regel is not enough to mitigate Mitzoras. Why? Because a Kohen Gadol is always in the state of Regel. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Kohen Gadol Bechol Hashana Kiregel.
Right.
And if a Kohen Gadol Bechol Hashana is Kiregel, and yet as a Mitzorah he's enjoined from the Avodah, we have to prove that Avelus of Mitzoras, again he didn't lose any of his relatives, is more severe than your regular Avelus, and therefore, if that be the case, then a Mitzorah, even on Yontif, would have to observe the Avelus dimension of his Tzoras.
Right.
Why? Because you see that a Kohen Gadol is considered a Mitzorah and he's excluded from the Avodah even though he has regular. So you see that in the tug of war, right, between Simcha versus Mitzorah, or Tzoras, right, I mean the Avelus of Mitzorah, which wins out here in this tug of war?
Mitzorah.
Correct, the Mitzorah wins out. And that's why Kohen Gadol is enjoined from the Avodah when he's a Mitzorah, even though he has Simcha. The whole year round he has Simcha. So in the case of a classical Mitzorah who is not a Kohen Gadol, he has Simcha when? On Yontif, he's going to still have to observe his Avelus on Yontif. So if somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night and he asks you a quiz question and he says to you, can you imagine Avelus on Yontif? And first of all, you're angry at him for waking you up in the middle of the night. But secondly, you're angry at him by the stupidity of that question. How can you tell me there's Avelus on Yontif? There's a mitzvah simcha on Yontif. That certainly trumps Avelus. The answer he's looking for is Mitzorah. That is a case of Avelus which trumps Simcha, and it rises above Simcha. It's more powerful than Simcha. That's the sugya of Rava in the Sefta Moikot. And now the Rashi is going to try to analyze that sugya.
Remember I told you it's tricky?
Yes.
Now.
Look, Rabosai, the truth is that even if you don't follow the rest of the Shia, we just learned the Sugya Moed Katan. That's not bad. And a very complicated Sugya Moed Katan. Alright. Hashta Yesh Lahakshos. You have such
yes.
It should be a new paragraph. I don't know. He says, now let's ask the following question. E Nema De Iser Avodas Kohen Hejot Baninus Humidine Kodshin Velomidine Niuganinus imkein hech muchach mehad kohen gadol makriv baninus dekol hashana kiregelu etzlo va'iser hakrova right bekohen hejo baninus whom he dine kachin. He says the following: you want to prove to me that a Kohen Gadol, Rav wants to prove a Kohen Gadol's status the whole year round is that of a regel, which means that because of his obligation of Simcha the whole year round, that overrides his Aninus, and that's why he's allowed to do the Avoda. Again, there's only one Kohen on the face of the earth who's allowed to do the Avoda in Aninus, and that's the Kohen Gadol. And why, says Rav? Because the Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah which overrides his Aninus. In other words, there's an Iser for an Oneh to do the Avodas HaKodshim, and we're going to override that Iser by virtue of a mitzvah called Regel. Well, it's not a Regel today, it's the 15th what are we up to? Siva, are we up to the 15th yet? I lost my count here. Right? So it's not 16th. So it's not a Regel today, and yet he, the Kohen Gadol, is going to override his Aninus. He's going to do the Avoda. Why? An Oni is not allowed to do Avoda, even if he's a Kohen Gadol. The answer is no. For a Kohen Gadol, we're going to say there's a Matir. There's something that trumps the Iser of an Oni. And what's that? The Mitzvah of Simcha. It's the 16th of Sivan. Where's the Mitzvah of Simcha? Now, here's another thing. I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, what? Well, is there a Mitzvah of Simcha today? So you'll be a bretzel and you'll say Gansir Simcha, right? The whole year, Mitzvah, the whole year, Mitzvah. But let's say you're not a bretzel. So what are you going to tell me? Berzon, you have to wake me up in the middle of the night to ask me such a stupid question. Of course there's no Mitzvah Simcha. The answer is there is a Mitzvah Simcha on a Kohen Gadol. That's what Rava says. And that Mitzvah Simcha, like Esei Dochalosa said, trumps the Iser of Aninus. So the Rashiva says, wait a minute, Rava, you're off base over here. The problem of Aninus is a Kodshim problem. The Torah formulated an Iser Kodshim that the Mizbeach and the Avodas HaKorban excludes an Oneh. And if that be the case, that Iser never was formulated with regard to a Kohen Gadol. The Torah never said that a Kohen Gadol can't do his Avodah B'Aninus. That we see from Aaron and all the proofs that we have. So how does that indicate that the Gansior, he's a regular? Let's say I want to be argumentative. I'm going to say to Rav, you know what? I'm not accepting your proof. I hold that a Kohen Gadol does not have a Mitzvah Simcha. So Rav is going to say to me, so why is it that he's allowed to do the Avodah in Aninus? I'll say, because the Torah said, and it's a Dinei Kodshim, that a Kohen Hejod who's in a state of Aninus, that's repulsive, that's antithetical to the Beis HaMikdash. But if he's a Kohen Gadol, we never prohibited a Kohen Gadol from doing the Avodah B'Aninus. But what does that have to do with being in regel a whole year round? So the only
but
way...
But doesn't the answer to that have to be somewhere slightly in the middle, because we said he could do the Avodah, he can't do it. Right?
Right. So you mean to say that there is a recognition of the Iser Kodshim even in the case of Kohen Gadol?
But the main point is what you said, the question on Rabbah from the Rosh Yeshiva, because he does do the Avodah. That's the main
correct. So that's why he comes along and he says, L'chora, do you see that? Mavur Hasam, the Iser Avodah B'Aninus who mihilchas niuganinus. This is not a Kodshim Aloch. In a Kodshim Aloch, you could say, let's differentiate between a regular Kohen Hejid and a Kohen Gadol. But now we're talking about Dini Aninus. We're learning Hilchas Aninus now. And in Hilchas Aninus, there's no difference between a Kohen Hejid and a Kohen Gadol. They both are obligated in the Iser of Oneh. So if the Kohen Gadol wants to do the Avodah when he's in Aninus, he's violating his Iser Aninus. There must be something that's matir the Iser Aninus. And what's coming to be matir the Iser Aninus? the regel, the fact that the whole year round he's keregel. Umuchach, he says, that the mitzora is no itzaras of a regel, that in the case of mitzora, simchas yontif is not enough to mitigate and override his obligation to fear tzach. He has to live and manifest himself as an onen. But you see clearly that Rav is proof that Kohen Gadol has the status of regel b'chol hashana is based on the fact that the Isra Avoda, in the case of an Onein, is an Isra Aninus. If it's an Isra Aninus, it has its application to a Kohen Gadol the same way it applies to a Kohen Hedjin. And therefore you must assume that an Onein, that if the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do his Avoda by Aninus, it's Midin Dchia, it's Midin that he has some mitzvah that the Kohen Hedjin doesn't have. What mitzvah does the Kohen Gadol have that the Kohen Hedjin doesn't have?
Regel.
He's considered a regel kol yimol sash.
So Avelis too, he would do the Avoda even if he's an Avelis. Wouldn't be able to eat, but he would do it as an Avelis. But I thought we learned somewhere that even if he's an Avelis, he's not allowed to do it.
Only the case, only the Avelis of Mitzor. Right, we had a special reboot.
So if he's an Avelis that he lost some, a relative.
Correct. That's what I call classic.
And he still can do it.
He can do the Avodah. Why? Because of his mitzvah simcha.
Right.
Not because in Kodshim we excluded the Kohen Gadol from the Isra of Aninus, of Avodah by Aninus. But rather, even though the Kohen Gadol is included in the Avodah of Aninus, nevertheless, the Torah was matered because of and by virtue of his mitzvah simcha. And that overrides and trumps the Isra Aninus. But that's only if you assume that the Isra Avodah Menonen is one of the various dinim on the list of Nihuge Isurei Aninus. Like I said before, that an Onen is not allowed to drink wine, an Onen is not allowed to eat meat, an Onen is not allowed to go to a party. He's an Aninus. Oh, now we're adding another Isur to that list of Isur, namely the Isur Avoda, the Beis HaMikdash. For the sake of a Kohen Gadol, we're going to look aside because the Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah that overrides the Isra Aninus. What's that?
Right.
Mitzvah of Regel. Again, that's only vis-a-vis Avelus. Classical Avelus, when he lost one of his relatives. If you talk about the Avelus of Mitzora, then we have a ribui to teach me that the case of Mitzora and that Avelus of Mitzora is on a whole different level. Such that even though he's a Kohen Gadol with the mitzvah of Simcha, that mitzvah of Simcha is not going to mitigate and override the Isur of Avelus of a Mitzorah. Because then you're talking about a whole different kind of Isur Avelus. So Rabosa, if I would ask you the following question, according to the Rosh Yeshiva's presentation, when we start this discussion of Rav and Moed Kohen with a Braisa that derives from the extra word Ve'atzaruah, that if the Kohen Gadol is a Mitzori, he's enjoined from the Avodah because by virtue of his Avelus, what was the Havamina? You know, anytime we see a derivation, we always have to ask ourselves, Yachal, what would I have thought before the Pasuk, Tamid Lomar, Bar Kosev Alime? What would have been before the Bar Kosev Alime? Why would we think that the Kohen Gadol, if he's a Mitzora, he's allowed to do the Avodah? Exactly, because since the whole year round he has a regel, so we know that regel is a mitzvah that overrides avelus. I would have assumed the same thing should apply to a mitzvah. That was your question, Don, about an hour ago. And now we have an answer to that question. It's a pasuk. The pasuk wants to tell me that the aninus and avelus of a mitzvah is that much stronger and more powerful and more strict than the classical avelus of somebody who lost a relative. And then Afkamina is going to be where the Simcha could override the Isra Avelus. In the case of classical Isra Avelus, that Isra is not so strict, not so weighty. And therefore the Mitzvah of Simcha in the case of a regel would override that. Right? Of our own end. Or for example, it can go to the whole year round. He's allowed to do the Avodah. Why? Because he has the Mitzvah of Simcha, he's can regel the whole year round. But if you're talking about the Isra Avelus of a Mitzorah, that's already a horse of a different color. That's already a much more severe Isur. And therefore it requires what? It applies even to a Kohen Gadol who has the mitzvah of Simcha the whole year round. That mitzvah of Simcha is not capable of trumping the Isur Mitzorah, the Aninus of a Mitzorah. Ela d'yesh nilidchos raya zu, dehine Rashi, pirish hosam, haraya mi kohen gadol. What was the proof from kohen gadol? Well, kohen gadol kol shana l'diday kiregel kuli alma dami desnan kohen gadol makriv onen v'lo madnu the kohen gadol makriv onen. Al kuli alma b'shari mos hashana. Onen enim shaleh korbanos v'regel mishaleh v'kohen gadol onen makriv kol hashana and kol hashana v'pirush Rashi ha raya mihod the kohen gadol onen mishaleh korbanos. Ubira grachtolo michale la Rashi levar da Gemara hevia raya mi etzem din shemuchshar liavoda baninus vieno machalel. Avoda, meaning a kohen gadol is allowed to do the avoda by ninus. Yishum the din zeh ena mi dinei niug aninus v'regel. Is lo mahani elo l'dinei niug aninus v'lo l'pasus habal yidei din onen. Al kach the kohen gadol who din miyuchad shehuta lakrova v'eino mechal lavoda. Al kei b'irashi arayim hadi onen kohen hejod also b'shilu a korban also b'kohen gadol makriv b'aninus aino afilu korbanos shalo k'gon chavitim who makriv b'aninus for less bay din iser shilu a korban also mishum de karegel domi. Wow. It's very interesting. He's suggesting, based on a Rashi in Moed Katan, that when Rav approves from the fact that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Hakrova as an Onen, you see that a Kohen Gadol is Keregel Kol HaShonah. Says Rashi, no, that doesn't prove anything. Because that might be a Din in Kodshin. But Rav's proof was from something else. And that is from the Din of Mishaleach Karbonosov, that an Onen, a regular Kohen who's an Onen, is not allowed to send his Karbonos to another Kohen to be makriv. But in the case of a Kohen Gadol, he's allowed to send his Karbon to have another Kohen be makriv the Karbon. And he gives a case, an example of Chavitin. So in other words, this halacha of an Isur Shilua Karbonosov doesn't apply in the case of a Kohen Gadol, even though he's an Onen. And why is that so? So the only possible answer is that because a Kohen Gadol the whole year round is called Keregel. And therefore the Regel overrides this prohibition of sending his Karbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And that clearly is an Isur of Aninus. So again, Rashi rejects the Poshup Shat in the Gemara the way we have it, that the Raya was from the fact that that a Kohen Gadol Onen is allowed to do the Avoda. But that's not relevant to that discussion, Rashi holds. Why? Because the fact that a Kohen Gadol was not included in the original Iser of an Onen, that's one thing. And that doesn't prove that he's Karegel Kol Yemos HaShana. Forget about Karegel Kol Yemos HaShana. The Torah never prohibited a Kohen who's an Onen from doing the Avoda. But rather, the proof was from the Din that Kohen Gadol is allowed to send his Karbonos the whole year round. And that must be based on the fact that the whole year round he has the status of Simcha of Re.
You know, Rabbi Bersa, we sort of answered at least partially a question I tried to ask him. He asked me to look up, but I couldn't find the answer to it.
Okay.
If a Kohen Gadol has to do certain korbanot, like korbanot tzibur or something. So the answer just came out here that the, what was it? Ptitin, minchatchinu,
chavitin. Right.
The ones that are specifically for him, yes. But otherwise, he just has the right to take whatever he wants. So maybe it's normal for him to do a korbanot tzibur, and they were saying if he's onen, maybe he sends someone. So that was the same answer to that question.
Maybe
I couldn't find that answer looking at it straightforward.
Right.
But I think that's the answer. We said last time that a kohen that He doesn't have to be in the pipes.
Right.
He could just like jump up and say,
I you could usurp the rights.
Got first, will hopefully got first dibs, so automatic first.
So I both say, let's stop here. I want to put a...
Okay. Would you like a bookmark?
A bookmark? Yeah, I have this bookmark. The adventure of this is I wrote Onen on it, so I know where it is. Oh, I'll put it here.
That's good.
And we'll see. We'll decide together whether or not we want to continue with this, or...
Is this a very long simon?
Yeah, I think we're about halfway through, even less.
Wow.
Now, I have another shiur at 11:45 today. So I'm going to take a break now and prepare for that. And I apologize again for